no games on the schedule?
That doesn't stop us from talking football.
It's time for the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Show.
Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Here are your hosts, past WFCA president and associate head coach at Arrowhead, Tom Swiddle, and the Fans High School insider, big time Mike McGivern.
Welcome into the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on 1250 AM The Fan. I am Mike McGivern. It's good to be back with a co-host, past president of WFCA, WFCA Hall of Fame member, associate head coach at Heartland Arrowhead. He's Tom Swiddle. Coach, how you been?
I've been great, Mike. How about you?
Man, good. It's good to talk to you again. Family, everybody's good?
Everybody's good. We cannot complain. And, hey, we're going to have to change that intro. No games? There's plenty of games.
Oh, there is. You know what? when I listened to it with Mitch, it was like, okay, sponsors are right. Swiddle's name is correct. What he's doing is correct. Never even thought about. Did not hear that. And I'm looking at the scoreboard right now. I'm looking at all these games that were played throughout the state. And, man, I actually even stopped over at Wisconsin Lutheran College, watched a little of that Milwaukee Lutheran game against Pius yesterday. And I left, the score was 7-6, and I thought, oh, man, not much going on. And 20-14, Milwaukee Lutheran comes back to get a win against Pius. So it's fun to talk some scores, and it's really good to be back with the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. Let me run down the schedule. Today's show, right off the jump, Wade Lebecki is going to join us, and we're going to talk to him for one segment about spring football, kind of an update, what's going on. Then Dan Brunner is going to join us. We'll talk about the clinic that's coming up and some other things going on with the WFCA. Tony Biola is going to join us. He is president-elect and combine chair. We'll talk about the combine that's coming up. 11 o'clock, our current electric superhero of the week, young man from Cudahy. Going to want to listen to this kid. He's a pretty impressive young man. Then Matt Harris, who's the head coach, associate head coach with you at Arrowhead, is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about the WFCA profile, player profile. And then Rob Wittick, who is the Whitnall head coach, and they got a win last night, so we'll talk to him. He'll be in an awfully good mood. But we are first joined by Wade Lebecki. He is with the WIAA, and a little spring football update. Wade, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mike?
It's kind of weird to be talking about some games that were played last night and a couple games on Thursday and a couple games tonight. For the most part, looks like almost all of them, a couple in our area got canceled. But for the most part, it looks like had a full schedule of football games last night.
Yeah, I think there were 44 last night and 2 on Thursday and 9 today, so There's quite a few games going on, and that's great because the only reason for the alternate fall was to go ahead and provide opportunities for kids and those seniors that, missed their fall season of football. We wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity, and it's a credit to the school administrators and the coaches and the athletic directors in order to go ahead and get these games going. And I also believe that we need to thank our officials. A lot of them are in the vulnerable group. And they're out there, they're officiating, and those opportunities for the kids are creating memories. So it's a great opportunity.
Wade, you'd be the one that would hear if something isn't working. What are the early returns on the spring season?
I haven't heard any negatives. It's been cold. I went to the game on Thursday night, and I think the real feel was 32, and to me it was more like 20. But I think that everybody's been enjoying it, and I have not heard any negatives. The key is that we want people to go ahead and mask up and follow the guidelines so we can play next week and the week after and get to our spring sports. We're still in that area that we want to go ahead and remember that we're in a pandemic. I know, there's some vaccinations going on and that stuff, but we want to follow those rules. But actually, everything's been going well. And the game on Thursday, I went to there, and you saw a lot of smiles. And you saw a lot of, kids who appeared to be happy. And at the two games I went yesterday, it was neat. Sun Prairie got to open up their field, and it's a gorgeous stadium. But the kids look like they're having fun, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, and Wade, there's certainly a lot going on this spring. Obviously, football now and the spring season's the traditional spring season's coming after. Perhaps you'd like to just mention what the spring WIAA season is actually going to look like this year.
Right. You know, actually, swim starts their sessionals next week, and they'll have their swim state for the alternate fall on April 6th. And then so swimming was the first alternate fall sports, and we had volleyball that started on February 22nd, and then football. And next week we started soccer, and I think next week we start golf and tennis. And then the spring season all starts on April 19th, and the baseball and softball, all of that's been backed up. You know, they normally would have started this week or last week, but they've been backed up, and the state tournaments will be back into June, and we're hoping that we'll be able to allow more fans to get in. But right now, the neat thing is at least the parents get in there, and I think most of the schools are allowing four fans per athlete, and they're allowing them to do that. Our cheerleaders are still out there, so they're getting to do their part. So I think, you know, we've been able to squeeze this alternate fall by shortening up the winter and shortening up the spring and moving that back a little bit. So it's worked out pretty well. I know, you know, we didn't have spring sports last year, so it's important that we get those in as well and get those baseball players and track people and softball and all of those athletes who lost their spring season their opportunity as well. So it's been a difficult year, but I think everything's worked out so well to give those kids their sports and their opportunities and some normalcy. And hopefully we'll return in August and be ready to go.
You know, just speaking from my perspective, just being around Arrowhead every day like I am, there seems to be a lot of cooperation among the coaches and understanding that, you know, that things are different. And, you know, even the cooperation that I see between schools. I know one of the concerns that you had was these football programs that play on a natural grass field being able to find turf fields to play on. Have you gotten an indication that schools with turf fields are willing to share?
Oh, that's for sure that they are. You know, and I think there was a triple-header scheduled for today, but knocked down to a doubleheader. But I know there's a game at Amherst between Black River Falls and I'm trying to think of who the other school is, but they're meeting in the middle. And they're able to go ahead and share that turf field at Amherst, who played in the fall. It's Kewaunee and Black River Falls. So there's been a lot of that. Lacrosse Logan's field is being used a lot. Wisconsin Dells, they have a brand new facility, gorgeous. They're being used. So our schools are doing a great job of sharing. I know Bigfoot's got several games there. So I think the turf fields are helping. There's a lot of them. There's some new ones coming in and going in. But the schools have been really good about sharing their fields and helping one another out. And, you know, same thing that happened in the fall has happened here. You know, when a school drops a game for whatever reason, COVID or what have you, another school is available and they schedule that, you know, last minute notice. And that's the thing that I noticed in the fall. Like you said, there's so much cooperation amongst everybody to give opportunities to the kids that it's working out well. And I noticed that in wrestling in particular, that the coaches are so much appreciative of the officials and the kids so much appreciative of the officials that our unsportsmanlike calls were down dramatically and ejections were down dramatically. And I think we'll see that in our other sports too, is, you know, everybody is just so happy to be able to offer the opportunities that the whole feeling is outstanding. I'm afraid it'll come back at some point, but, you know, our officials are being treated so much better. I think people understand the risk that some of them are taking and the way they're going out of their hands. You know, we've got football officials who are officiating in the spring as well.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. You know, I saw a crew on Thursday night for the second time in the year. The issue is once was in October and once was in March. So I think everything is working out so well, Tom. It's really neat to see the cooperation and the appreciation.
We are talking to Wade Lebecki. He's the deputy director of the WIAA. Hey, Wade, as far as numbers are concerned of players and teams and the amount of kids that are participating, I know that was one of the questions that people had for me. Yay, do you think that the numbers will be the same? Will it be down? Will it be up? And I thought it would be close to the same, but maybe a little bit less with kids looking to play, you know, get ready for baseball or play basketball this time. You're on some travel teams. Do you have an idea on the number of kids that are playing and where it compares to if they had played in the fall?
You know, when I was at the game last night, I asked Eric Mee, the athletic director, and he thought their numbers were down a little bit, not a whole lot. You know, so when I saw Verona and Sun Prairie, two good programs, I counted about 64 on Verona and about 68 on Sun Prairie. They're down, but, you know, not dramatically. Now, some of the schools, he said there's a school in their conference that's down a lot in football because there is traditionally a strong baseball team. So you don't have a lot of the kids out that normally would be out because they're getting ready for the baseball season. I anticipate that we'll see a lower number in participation just because, you know, in the fall, a lot of people were still, you know, in the leery stage of the pandemic, and now they're coming out of it a little bit. But I think overall in all of our sports, our participation numbers will be down. And it's something that, you know, coaches will have to work on to get back up. You know, sometimes when kids have alternatives, they don't come back. And then it's going to take some recruiting within your hallways to go ahead and get some kids back out. But I think we'll see this year that they're going to be down a little bit, but hopefully they'll be back up next year.
Well, that's great news that, the numbers aren't dramatically down. One last question that I have for you, Wade, in the time that remains, there are some differences between the fall season and the spring season for football. Do you just want to touch on some of the differences between the two in terms of games played, playoffs, things like that?
Right. You know, we tried to keep the number of games the same, but we started out with the traditional 2 weeks before you can go ahead and have a game week, and so everybody had that. The scrimmage was the second weekend of the season, and then you have seven regular season games. And that's what we had in the fall. In the fall, we had two playoff rounds, and two only because the season was moved back to a September 7th start, so we couldn't get more rounds in. In the spring, we don't have a playoff round one because we're already extending into the spring sports season, and we'll be taking kids away from track and baseball. But in addition to that, we couldn't go any longer, any further, because our doctors were concerned about getting into too close to the fall season and having an overexposure and the risk of injury. So we're just having regular season during the spring. There is no fall tournament. I know there's a conference that divided up into two halves, and they're playing five games, and then they're going to have a conference semifinal conference championship and then match up the other rounds. And so they're doing that, but we will not be having a WIA tournament just because we don't want to get too lengthy and too far into towards the summer and towards the next season. So it's just going to be a regular seven-game season here in the spring.
Hey, Wade, I know I've had you on a lot here in the last 6 or 7 months, and once again, just want to say thank you to you and the people at the WIAA, because if you look around different states around us, look, these kids didn't get a chance to play much at all, and the WIAA has worked tremendously hard with athletic directors and areas throughout the state of Wisconsin to give our kids a chance to participate in sports. And I can't give you guys enough credit for some of this, Wade. I really can't, and thank you for that.
You're welcome, and our staff did do a wonderful job, and they've worked their tails off in order to go ahead and provide those opportunities. Now we're working on spring, so hopefully we'll have some quality tournaments for that season as well.
When does vacation time start for Wade Lebecki? Not anytime soon, it doesn't sound like.
2025.
There, 2025. You heard it here first. If you're looking for Wade in 2025, you might not be able to find him. Wade, thanks a lot. We really appreciate
your
time and the update.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Dan Brunner, executive director for the WFCA, is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about the clinic and some other things going on at the WFCA. My co-host is Tom Swiddle, the associate head coach at Arrowhead, and this is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by our friends at Pella, Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Get your asses ready to play. Win on three. One, two, three.
Win! I feel that you smell that fresh.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I'm Mike McGivern. My co-host is Tom Swiddle. I don't know if we can play this, boys of fall. It might be boys of spring, Coach.
Yeah, very apropos this season.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, we're now joined by Dan Brunner, and he is just always so kind with his time for this show. He's the executive director of the WFCA. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, we're gonna gonna change that song, man, to the fall to the boys of spring. I guess. Hey, Dan, it's just kind of odd. Like I told Tom, I drove over. I had a meeting in Brookfield, and my son-in-law is helping out on the staff at Milwaukee Lutheran. So I drove over and sat in the car and watched a little football. And it was just kind of odd. It was just a little bit different, but you know what? It's football, and they're out there hitting, and not much of a crowd because they can't have a ton there. But it was kind of cool to be watching a little football this time of year.
Yeah, you know, and I watched a number of the highlights on the local news channels, and it was funny how the crowds were limited, but I forgot which game it was. One of them looked pretty packed, but. I also had a conversation with Doug Sarver. Doug was at the Cudahy game in Greenfield. And, you know, he said he was talking about what you were saying, but it was kind of like bizarro world where, you know, we're starting out the football season in cold temperatures and it's going to get warmer and warmer, whereas it's you know, vice versa in the fall. But it's still football.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
So when you're talking fall football, and then you're talking about the clinic that is going to happen this year, correct?
You know, it's on schedule right now. You know, everything's fingers crossed, but we're in constant communication with the Marriott in. Unfortunately, it's in Dane County, but. So we're kind of knocking heads with everybody about, you know, is it going to, is it not going to? And everybody at the hotel says things are improving in terms of loosening the restrictions on crowd sizes and conventions, et cetera. So we're cautiously optimistic, and that's the way we're proceeding.
And the dates on that would be June 3rd through the 5th. Is that correct?
Yep, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th with a Hall of Fame banquet being concluding the clinic on June 5th.
Dan, how do you go about booking people for that? We think this thing is going to happen. If it does, this is, you know, we want you there, but we need to have an out in case the facility has to reschedule or cancel us. Is that how you do that?
That's the way we're proceeding this year. You know, last year we got caught where it was just, you know, we had to cancel and then we were scrambling, and we had lined up coaches from all over the country, and they had already booked flights, and so it was kind of a panic situation with everybody. And fortunately, because the airlines were shutting down all of our speakers, we're able to get reimbursement for the flights they had booked. So it's kind of, you know, we're trying to be ahead of the game this year where we've got that caveat in there that, you know, we're inviting them under the understanding that it could be canceled, and we're trying to have a virtual contingency so they could still appear, but, you know, not in person. But that's certainly not what we would prefer.
Dan, it's good to be talking about events that were not held last year,
yeah.
For obvious reasons. And based on what you've shared with me about the clinic, it looks like it'll be just a regular clinic. I mean, it's going to be the same format, same number of speakers, all of that.
Yeah, you know, there'll be some precautions, obviously. There'll be sanitizing stations and all of those things. But we've been in constant contact with the Marriott, and you know they want to hold this event as bad as we do. So you know it would be just another step toward returning to normalcy.
Hey Dan, do you want to talk about any of the speakers or any of the people that you guys have lined up right now? I know that you're still working on some stuff, but is there any news that you can kind of share with us as far as some of the
sure.
people that are coming?
Yeah, you know, we'd like to get as many of the people that we had lined up for a year ago back because, you know, the pin was pulled on them, and they were all excited. And, you know, we hate to just sweep them under the rug and move on. So we've got, you know, for example, for some of our keynote speakers, you know, we're looking – one guy we're excited about getting to the clinic is Jay Norvell. He'd be a new speaker, and he's out at Nevada, but he's a, you know, he's a Madison kid and played in Madison at Madison East, and he and his wife are both from Madison. He's really excited about coming back, and we're just trying to work out the details of, you know, what day and what time and so forth. So I think that would be a great addition to our clinic lineup, a new addition. We had lined up Justin Outen, the Packer tight end coach, and, you know, the Packers have had just great success with their tight ends, and he's excited, and they're just waiting on their final work schedule from Matt LaFleur for the Packer assistant coaches, but he's optimistic that he'll be able to make it. And in addition to him, we've extended an invite, and it's the same situation. He would love to come back, and that's the Packer offensive line coach. I think it's Adam Stenovich. He was an All-State player for us in the state back when he played in high school at Stevens Point High School. So he, you know, we could get two of the Packer key assistant coaches in addition to Jay Norvell. And then we've got a number of ex-Wisconsin kids. Danny Freund has become in a coordinator position. I think it's at North Dakota. And Danny was really excited about coming and speaking, and so he's committed to coming. And so, and we've got a number of other people in the works. You know, we actually have more people that want to come and speak than I thought. I thought there'd be a little bit of hesitancy, but they're just chomping at the bit to get back out in front of people. You know, they're all zoomed out. They want to be in front of coaches and, you know, feel that energy in the room.
And that's not to say, or to leave out, I should say, Paul Christ and some of his people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, the Badger staff, you know, I guess I shouldn't take them for granted. But, yeah, they make the clinic, you know, Paul and his key assistants. And he's got some, you know, we're waiting on that right now, too, because he's had a couple of key hires. And so we'll work with Paul to get two of his key assistant coaches out in front of our people. It'll probably be on Friday, though. Paul will speak on Thursday. He'll be our headliner there. The rest of the assistants will do the Badger Bash on Thursday night. But we'll get two of his key assistants out in front of our guys on Friday, because it's funny how this worked out. This happened. This will turn into an official visit weekend. And we found that out around the country. You know, we're trying to get Matt Campbell from Iowa State. He wants to come and speak, but it turns out that that's one of their official weekend visit on their calendar. So it's unlikely that he can do it this year, but we'll get him eventually. And it's the same with the Badgers. It's an official visit weekend. And so we bumped their, instead of having his key assistant coaches on Thursday night, we got to work them in during the day on Friday, so they're available Friday evening for their official visits. So, you know, in the past, we've had spring football to deal with. Well, this year, we've got to deal with official visit weekends.
Boy, it's always something. You know, it just is. But I'll tell you what, I got to give you guys a lot of credit, and certainly the Marriott up in Middleton some credit, because when you said, look, they want to have this event as much as we do, I there's no doubt they're chomping at the bit to get this thing going. You guys are, and the people that want to come out to the clinic, is it certainly is one, if it's not the biggest, one of the biggest high school football clinics in the country, June 3rd through the 5th. And all things right now look good, and they're going to continue to go down that path. We're going to get to a break. Can we hold you over for one more segment, Dan? We got a lot more questions for you.
Yeah, not a problem.
Thank you. He is Dan Brunner, Executive Director of the WFCA. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on 1250 AM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. Man, it's good to be back on the air with this show. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on 1250 AM, The Fan. Hey, Tom, what year is this for us?
This is the eighth season of the WFCA radio show. 8 years, Mike. You put up with me for 8 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm not Ingrid, but I put up with you for eight years. She's got more staying power than I do, pal. That's for sure. We are joined by Dan Brunner. He is the executive director for the WFCA. Hey, Dan, with spring, and you talked to all these coaches, with the spring season that just kicked off this week, what are you hearing from those guys? And talking to Wade Lebecki, he said, look, he's been to four games, and he's seen all these kids that are smiling, and it seemed like they're having fun and just happy to be on the field. Are you hearing the same thing from the coaches that are coaching in the spring?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this has been – you know, our guys in the fall did a phenomenal job navigating through that, you know, and all of that information that was gathered and, you know, and the way to do things, the way to go about things and so forth. I think the guys that are doing the spring football, all they just seized that and built upon that. And, you know, anything they can do to get these guys back on the field is just a blessing. And you hit the nail on the head, Mike, when you say, you just look at some of these highlights of these kids and interviews on the sideline. They're just smiling, grinning from ear to ear. It's really neat to see.
One of the things the spring coaches have, Dan, is sort of a blueprint. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of spring coaches talk to fall guys and ask how they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. And, you know, so they weren't reinventing the wheel there. They're just taking that knowledge that was gathered in such an unknown situation by the fall guys, and they're just building on that. And so, you know, hopefully we can get that all behind us as these vaccines get rolled out completely by the summertime.
Dan, one of the things that is directly tied to the clinic yearly is WFCA membership sign-up. And I know you've done a new initiative this year. Take a moment or two and explain the new membership sign-up procedure.
Yeah, you know, it's something that, again, the pandemic situation brought this about, where in the past we would have a separate membership sign-up and a separate clinic registration. Well, we never want to get caught in that situation where we have to refund 2,500 to 1,000 or 3,000 coaches their clinic registration fees. It's not just the loss of revenue. It's just a nightmare of doing that. It's just such a headache. So, you know, we've kind of put our heads together on the exec board and talked about, you know, how do we avoid doing that? Well, now we just incorporate the clinic registration as part of their membership. And it turns out to be a tremendous deal. Rather than go through each individual staff sign-up, we have three group sign-ups, and it comes out to about $45 a coach to be a member, and it also includes their clinic registration fee. So it's really a win-win for everybody. And, you know, it's exciting, and we're hoping everybody takes advantage of it. And the thought process behind that was, how can we, and Tom, you know, you and I have been involved with this, and along with John Hope, to try to get our youth football coaches more involved with the association to just kind of standardize youth football throughout the state, because it's so different in every community. We want to just be the conduit to get information out to youth football coaches. And so in order to do that, we now allow high school coaches to include their youth coaches as part of their staff membership sign-up, which again would also allow them to attend the clinic without having to register for it separately. So it's really an exciting initiative, and it's, you know, I guess in my eyes it's long overdue, and the pandemic is kind of what was the final thing that put us into that mode to get this done.
Hey, Dan, that's brilliant. Just so you know, it's brilliant, and it's kind of a nice segue into my question for you. In some of the other shows I do, the Home Improvement Show in particular, I've asked these guys, these owners of these companies, look, you never saw this. I mean, we've never been through anything like this, so there was no template for you as a company on how to get through this. You've written the template for future guys, and I'm wondering, with the WFCA, that's one thing that you guys learned from this. And two, are there things that you've learned during this pandemic that you'll continue as policy once we're out of this thing?
I think it's still a fluid situation. Yes, we have. We've learned so much about just making the safety aspect of the game crucial. I think a lot of the protocols, and Doug Sarver and I, who's been fantastic in terms of his leadership as the All-Star Game chairman, he's had to put protocols in place, and he's taken it from what the football coaches did in the fall. We have to have that all in place for how we're going to conduct All-Star Games. And so in answer to your question, I think that the number one thing is safety protocols, not just for COVID. It's just for all types of infections and sterilizing equipment and all those things, I think will become the norm. And it's going to make our game a lot safer just because of the protocols that were established to keep kids and coaches safe from COVID. I think you're going to see a lot of that being just common practice going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I just think every coach that has coached during this pandemic will bring with them things that will alter how they've coached in the past and for the better.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot less cases of the flu.
No,
you don't hear of any of that now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I agree with that. You can go online and take a look at information on the clinic. It's WFCA.org, WIFCA.org, and look at the clinic information and look at the clinic vendor brochure. That really gives you a nice overview of what's going to happen. The interesting part for me on this, guys, is when you have the timing part. Now, I've been up to a couple of these, and Thursday night, the WFCA bash from 10 to midnight, I don't know if that ends at midnight. That's not a hard stop. That's all I'm saying. That is not a hard stop. That's kind of a recommended, a suggestion, a nudge. Hey, you guys might want to get some sleep at 12:01. But I can tell you that bash might go on a little bit past that, both on Thursday and Friday. Dan, would you agree with me on that one?
I would wholeheartedly. There's more coaching done from that 12 to whatever time period that goes on during that period of time than does any time during the day.
Well, you know, hey, Tom, you know what's interesting is there are guys, and this is different than the basketball world that I came from, where everybody's always really secretive on what they're it's right. Like coaches in football put up a screen in their room, and they let guys come in and say, hey, look, so you know this is how we run this. Defensively, we're thinking about going to this, and this is how we're thinking about doing it. And they share information, and I just find that really encouraging. And I'd always hoped that basketball guys would get to some of that, but that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, it's probably because the basketball guys don't drink as much beer as the football guys do.
You're saying that they're more wine drinkers? Is that really?
I don't know. I do know this. One of the bartenders at the bar at the Middleton the Marriott in Middleton told me they sell more beer at that bar than any Marriott bar in the world that weekend. And he was serious.
No, absolutely. You know, no surprise here.
You know, and another thing, Mike, talking about coaches willing to, you and Tom can probably agree to this. If you went and cleaned up at that bar, there are more plays written on bar napkins during that clinic than probably any playbook that you'll see anywhere in the world. You could empty those garbage cans and you would have the best playbook in the world, because that's what
we should publish. That
they're writing plays on bar napkins, and it's like they run out of bar napkins because they write, coaches are just scribbling all these plays down and showing it to them.
Look, if you are a high school football coach or part of the youth programs around here, reach out to the head coach and say, look, how do I get up to that clinic? Because I get a lot of calls from youth basketball coaches saying, what clinics, how do I network, how do I get to meet people? If I have interest to move from the youth program up to the high school program, how do I get a chance to get to know other guys? This clinic is where you're going to want to do that. June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's the 2021 WFCA Football Clinic. And I can't recommend it enough. If nothing else, to walk through, listen to speakers, get a chance to say hello and introduce yourself. Be part of this thing. It's the 45th annual at WFCA Football Clinic, and it's just a great time had by all. And Dan, thank you so much for your time. And we always appreciate your willingness to give up, you know, 30 minutes or so on Saturdays during the show to just highlight what's going on with the WFCA.
Oh, anytime, Mike, and I really appreciate sincerely what you and Tom do. This show has been phenomenal, and it blows me away that it's been 8 seasons.
Man, you guys walked in almost 9 years ago to this studio and said, hey, we need to get going on something like this. And, you know, Tom, they say that days go slow and years go fast, and I agree with that.
I agree also.
And look, we all look the same that we did not. Well, maybe not. Anyway.
I know I don't. I'm not going
to
lie.
No doubt. Hey, Dan, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. We're going to get you a break. Other side of the break, Tony Biola is going to join us. WFCA president-elect and combine chairman is going to give us a combine update. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Yeah, can you feel it, baby? I can too.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, 1250 AM, The Fan. Man, if that music doesn't get you tapping your toe or something. Hi, I'm Mike McGivern, my co-host. This is Tom Swiddle. Hey, Tom, we're trying to reach out to Tony Biola. I've not been able to get him yet.
Okay.
But want to talk a little bit about the combine coming up. And, man, this is it's coming up quick. Man, under a month, April 24th, correct?
Correct. And, you know, there's a change from what we've done in the past in that we're having the combine at Next Level. And Brad Arnett and his staff have run our combines from the very start. And last fall was the first time that we held it at the Next Level facility in Waukesha, and it worked out really well. And Brad has it laid out there. So it looks like our new permanent home for the combine.
Man, that's awesome.
Will be at Next Level.
You know, I know we want to certainly thank Sussex Hamilton for the use of their facility in the past, but I heard nothing but really good things about how it got run last year. And Brad and his staff, those guys at Next Level, man, they do a really nice job at this combine, Tom.
They sure do. And, you know, and that's the difference maker. You know, there are other combines that are out there and, you know, ones that people can go to, but there's no combine that does it like the WFCA. One of the things that really makes it a worthwhile experience for participants is the fact that it is the, you know, the staff at Next Level, the professionals. I mean, these are individuals who train professional athletes and, you know, are just so good with numbers and you know, results in terms of what they're looking at. And it's like Paul Chris told me once when I asked him about, you know, the combine and the way we do it. And he said, you know, it's comparing apples to apples because we know that the numbers, number one, because it's done by Brad, are factual. They're not made up numbers. The second thing is if you're there, everybody's being tested under the exact same circumstances. So it means something to college coaches.
Yeah, 100%. And you can go online. I don't know what – do you have any idea the number of athletes that have signed up? Now, this is good. I believe.
Do.
Oh, you do? What's the number so far?
We are just a little – as of a couple days ago, we were at like 403 for this spring combine. Now, keep in mind that this is for fall football participants. The combine we had in the fall – were for the spring
right.
participants, and we had like 197. So, I mean, we are, you know, going to be at over 600
wow.
when we're done, and we're still accepting people to, you know, register for the combine. We're going to be over 600 athletes, football players, who will go through the two combines.
Hey, Tom, what year is this for juniors and seniors or sophomores? What year do kids have to be in order to participate for this?
You know, you would have to ask
no,
me that. I believe that...
I've got it. You know what, Tom? I think I've got it. Hold on. I think it's 2022 and 2023, I believe. And I think
typically,
that
we've had, you know, we used to do current freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. And then we went to just sophomores and juniors. And, you know, of course, we used to do it in the spring. So the seniors that year obviously
right.
were out of it already. But I think I'm not sure if we're allowing current seniors to sign up for the combine or not.
It says on the combine here, it says class of 2022, class of 2023, and position is what you have to put down. The one thing that you guys have not taken my advice on.
What's that?
You know, you still have the big hogs, boys my size, coming in at 8 a.m., and those quarterbacks, those pretty boys coming in at 2:30. I want the pretty boys to have to get up early, get their hair done, and come on in early. But you still got those offensive and defensive linemen coming in. Registration starts at 8 o'clock, warm-up at 8:45, testing from 9 a.m. to 11. And then linebackers, running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs. And I think you made that change. You took the wide receivers. You got them coming a little earlier than normal, but still those quarterbacks. Registration 2:30, warm up at 3:15, get your hair done at 3:20, and then testing. I'm only kidding. Your son was a quarterback, and he was tough as nails, that young man. You can go online and get all the information that you need. Go to WFCA and look up events and go to the Combine. And it'll be 2021 Combine. Get all the information that you need on the Combine. And they're still, you know what, they're still going to take a few more. It says on there that 400 is the limit. They're at 403. But if it's still something that you want to do, you know what,
yeah.
you can do that. And I'm looking at the participants, and I got to tell you, from Grantsburg to Randolph, and then a lot around here, but then Plum City and Chippewa Falls, Kewaskum, Stratford. Kid Dry coming in from Stratford. My goodness.
It's amazing how far people come. And we have a situation where, you know, if you're looking, let's say you had to drive 5 hours or 6 hours to get to the combine. You know, we can refer you to hotels and let you know who's willing to work with you in terms of, you know, a registration price for the rooms and that kind of thing. So it's really, Tony has done a wonderful job. There is absolutely nothing that hasn't been thought through in regards to this. One thing I do want to mention, Mike, is, you know, we're still going to be following all kinds of safety protocols. You know, we give them a gaiter when they come. You know, to cover their face and, you know, everything is sterilized after every group of kids that go through a certain station. And, you know, so we are going to follow all the safety protocols that we should be following to make this as safe as an event as possible. We do take temperatures of all the participants when they come, before they enter the building. And it's another reason why Next Level really works for us, because we can really control who's in the building and who isn't. And I know last fall there were several individuals that came in and they had temperatures and we didn't let them participate. So we are following all safety protocols.
Hey, what does that mean? I know when we were at Sussex Hamilton, we used to do our show live from there, and that was really fun because we would just kind of like cherry pick guys that were standing around and get some college guys to come on. And man, you had set those shows up so nicely, and thank you for that. But there are a lot of parents that would kind of come in.
Right.
What's the idea this year with people watching?
There won't be any opportunity for that. The space just isn't as big as Sussex Hamilton's indoor facility. So only the participants, only the young men who are going to participate in the combine are allowed in, so there aren't any viewing areas for parents.
You know, I'm looking at the list of players that have signed up, and you know, again, offensive linemen that are going to have to get there early. You're looking at, you know, the first one that pops up, a kid from Grantsburg and then Plum City, Richland Center. You know, pretty much Altoona, a lot of places from Hudson. So these are kids that obviously Colby, these are kids that obviously know that this is really important. They're getting the information from their coaches. Look, if this is a combine you need to get to. And so kids are coming from all over the state and participating in this. And not only offensive linemen, but quarterbacks, wide receivers. If you look at this list and take a look at some of the guys that are going to be showing up at this, a lot of these names are going to jump off the page at you because these are some of the best high school football players in the state of Wisconsin that are coming because they understand the importance. Hey, last question on this. Do you have any idea the participation for this with college coaches yet?
Well, we had approximately 25 coaches at our one in the fall. And we typically will get a little over 100 college coaches, and that's from Division III, Division II, and from the FCS. The FBS schools, you know, the Big Ten schools, for instance, they cannot attend by rule. But the what used to be considered the 1AA coaches, they can. So if it's like a typical spring combine for us, then we're probably looking at around 100 coaches representing just a number of schools. And we've had players who have been offered right at the combine by the scholarship schools that attend.
Unbelievable. Boy, that's really cool. And again, if they're gonna be able to take a few more. So if you've got a son that's a high school football player, wants to get involved in this combine, go to the WFCA website. It's WIFCA.org. Take a look at the events page. Go to the combine and get all the information that you need on that. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Tom, this can be your first go with this, but our Kurt Electric Superhero of the Week, we talked about a little bit during the week. This young man from Cudahy High School is going to join us, and I look forward to having you be part of this. This is always a really good segment for me personally, for kind of my soul and my brain and how I feel after, you know, our community. I feel about our community after I talk to one of these superheroes of the week. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on 1250 AM, The Fan.